I want you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke. This time to the first chapter and the 34th verse. Luke chapter 1 and verse 34. I announced I was going to speak on what Christmas means in the days of thy youth. And I have this idea that you're not children anymore, you young people, nearly grown, nearly adults. And that's the way we're all thinking about it. So your contemplation about the things of God at Christmas time is somewhat different than the contemplation that children have or you had when you were a little younger than you are now. And what I'm going to come to is the fact that all of us reach a faith crisis. At some point in time, we have to cross that bridge to believe God and trust God. Christmas is not about what the world says it's about. Not characters and toys and different things that we associate from the secular world. And all of your life, you're going to be competing with the world as opposed to the Lord and the things of God. We have to be very careful, even at Christmas time. There are certain things, as a pastor for 50 years, I have not said. I've left that to parents. There are certain things I have said and encourage parents to say the same. But Christmas is about the birth of Christ, God's only begotten Son. And we must know that, live that, teach that, believe that, and celebrate that at this time of year. I want you to say John 3:16 with me. Would you repeat that with me? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen very carefully to this Bible verse. In Luke chapter 1, verse 34, Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That's Mary's question. That's what she asked. Because she knew something no one else in the world knew. No one. Later in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find Him on the cross, bleeding and dying for our sin. Among the few that were at the cross, beholding His death, one person there was His mother. One person among the crowd was His mother. And when she stood there and beheld Him, she knew something no one else knew. Now, there were others who believed it, but she knew something in her heart no one else knew. And it's the same thing we're reading about here in this verse. An angel announced to Mary that she's going to have a baby. And Mary said the obvious thing for a woman who'd never been with a man in the type of relationship that could produce a child, she said, This is impossible. How can this be? I've never known a man in this way. There's no way I could conceive. There's no way I could become an expectant mother. There's no way it could happen. She was a virgin. She had never known a man. And God puts it bluntly this way. And I want you to listen to it, please. I want you to hear this. She says to the angel God sent, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the Word of God tells us about the conversation that they had. In verse 35, And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And the power of the highest shall rule, shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. And then in verse 37, mark this well. For with God, nothing is impossible. For with God, nothing is impossible. I want you to say that with me. You read it or repeat it, whatever you have to do. I want to say it together. For with God, nothing is impossible. For with God, nothing is impossible. Now, Mary is saying the obvious to the Lord, to the angel. I don't know how this can be. And there are many times in life you're dealing with something and you don't know how it can be. It's not the same context as we find here. This was an amazing thing. Once in all of human history, a woman was going to have a baby without having a husband or having a relationship with a man. We know that through scientific discovery, people can be artificially prepared this way, but it's nothing like this. The Bible says a woman without a man who's a virgin is going to have a baby. And when she asked questions about it, God concluded the whole thing by saying in the 37th verse, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Somewhere in your life as a Christian, most of you in the time of your youth, you're going to have a crisis with your faith. And someone is going to challenge you in the world about whether or not this is true. This thing about God, about eternal life, about heaven, about being born again. You may think it won't happen to you because you've just accepted what other Christian family members have told you and you just go on with it. But at some time in your life, you're going to face a great faith crisis and wonder, can this be? Can God enter into my life? Can God forgive my sin? The Bible tells us of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll turn to the gospel according to John chapter 1, the Word of God says in the 14th verse, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, the Word, eternal God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Bible says, He's the only begotten of the Father. No one was ever born into this world like He was born into this world. When I reached a faith crisis, I'm not going to even tell you when it was. I became a Christian when I was 14 years old. When I was 17 years old, I yielded my life to the Lord to say, "Lord, whatever you want." I didn't doubt God. I didn't doubt that God exists. But I had serious thoughts about how can all this be? How can it be? Real heaven. Eternity. The certainty of an inevitable meeting with God. The new birth, the resurrection of Jesus. Sometimes you have thoughts about matters concerning faith and you wonder if you're the only person that ever had them. I'm telling you, no, you're not, and you won't be the last. But what can reel you in, strengthen you, bring you back where you ought to be? Mary said, "I don't understand how this could be. Never happened before. How can it be?" And God answered to her, "With God, nothing is impossible." When you and I talk about our issues and our questions, they all ought to bring us back to the Lord and who He is. All of us. I want you to look with me at the book of Hebrews just for a moment. To the first chapter and the third verse. Speaking of the Lord Jesus and His glory, the Bible says, "Who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and holding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." God's Word says that Jesus Christ, the only sinless man who ever lived on this earth, was the only person capable, the God-man, the only person capable of paying our sin debt. He owed no debt of his own. He was the only person capable of paying our debt. And so as the sinless Son of God, virgin born, lived a sinless life, went to the cross, he didn't just go and die like some common, ordinary criminal. He did not die for his own deeds. He died for us, and he died as us. That's what the Bible says. And you wonder, there's 7 billion plus people in the world right now, and billions who have lived before this moment. How can one person pay the sin debt for all people and taste death for every man? And we come back to the same thing. With God, nothing is impossible. You see, we're not talking about what men can do, or what you can do, or what you can dream of doing, or what some intelligent human being can do. We're talking about what God did and who God is. The Lord Jesus Christ is God, co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And God became a man without ceasing to be God. And when those temptations, those thoughts come to your mind, testing your faith, don't run back just to what you know about yourself. I know I've experienced salvation. I know I've had prayers answered. I know I've had God's hand protecting me. When God told Mary how this baby was going to be born, he said, the Holy Spirit shall overshadow thee. Just like he spoke in creation in the work of God. God will bring it about. It's not about what you can believe or can't believe, or what you can hold and can't hold, what others say or don't say. It's always about who God is. And you will come to the point in your life where you have the right vision of God. And when you have the right vision of God, just as the Bible says, all things. With God, nothing is impossible. No wonder the Lord says in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, the first verse, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. God says, when you discover me in the days of your youth. Build your faith in the days of your youth. And on the days of your youth, with your faith in God, build the rest of your life. That's God's ideal way. And so, when the world comes knocking, and it comes, I read these verses. Verse 15 of 1 John, chapter 2. The Bible says, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the world, but is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know what? There are times in my life I think I can't. But I know God can make me able. There are times in life when I think we can't get there, but then I know God, and God is able to get us there. There are times in life, many of them, when I think that's something I cannot do, but then I know I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I want to tell you something. Your life is about God and your relationship with God and what you believe God to do and be. And when that's settled, it answers every other question in your life. Every other question. I wouldn't recommend this for everybody. But if you know a little about my life, you know that I graduated from the University of Tennessee before I went to seminary. I went to another little junior college before that and finished the first 2 years of college, and it was a so-called Christian college. But I can tell you this. The day I got to college as a Christian, it seemed that the one objective of everyone there was to destroy my faith in God. The teacher of religion, renowned, who later said, long after I was there, that she had gotten born again, set her course on destroying anybody's belief in the miracles of Jesus. And every other miracle in the Bible, I remember her plainly saying she couldn't believe that the waters parted and the children of Israel walked through and the armies of Pharaoh. This is the person teaching faith and religion. The Egyptians were drowning. Now, she recanted all that later in life. But this is where you go to hear faith. When I went to the first anthropology class or geology class or biology class, when I went to the class, the first thing they did was to try to bring doubt on the Word of God and what I've read in the Word of God. It was like their business was not education. Their business was to attack faith. And I sat there. One day I walked the anthropology professor back to his office. He said, "You know, you ought to be a preacher." But he claimed to be a Sunday school teacher in a church I could name in Knoxville. He still exists. He still teaches from time to time special courses. But he talked about faith at the same time he was trying to destroy it in people's lives. And when you sit in there and you listen, I remember the Shell Oil Company doing everything they can to produce films and movies about evolution and making it as convincing as possible. You want to ask about your faith. How can this thing be? By the way, I'm trying to help these young people. How can this thing be? And thing can be because God is who He is. And with Him, nothing is impossible. You get acquainted with Him through His Word, through prayer, become strong in your faith in Him, and the Lord will see you through any crisis that ever comes to your thinking. Let's bow in prayer together, may we? I wonder, without me picking on you, pointing you out, I'm not going to do that. If you said, "Pastor, I'm dealing with some of those things. Just pray for me. Just pray for me." Would you lift your hand? Pray for me. Hold it high. Thank you for being an honest person. Many of you. I don't want you to think you're the only person in the world that ever had those thoughts. But come right back to the Lord and who He is. Right back to the Lord and who He is. Who among us says, "I don't even know for sure if my sins are forgiven, my home is in heaven, that I've been saved, I'm born again. I don't know that for sure. Would you please pray for me? Would you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand, hold it high where I can see it, please? I want to pray for you. May God guide us and help us."